the sport is going to continue to grow and evolve. But what a cool time to have been a part of it, to help not just like witness it, but then participate in the advancement, like certainly with the carbon fiber paddles and everything else that we've been a part of to try to help grow it, like sorting out nutrition for a lot of folks and all this. I mean, it's just been a blessing that somehow keeps giving back to us when all we're trying to do is like, you know, educate people and kind of help ourselves, to be honest, on one level, on a very deep level. This show has been extremely self-serving, but yeah, it's just been really amazing.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 300 of the show. We did it. Look at us.
Boom.
For folks, if you couldn't hear that,
we just
high-fived. You could see that on YouTube.
In the original studio, Studio G here in
Studio
my garage.
Studio G, the revamped, continuing to be revamped. In fact, before we even get into it, we should thank our good friend at the Radberg for literally making a piece of art, well, sort of making a piece of artwork for us.
This should go to YouTube. This is a must, and this is, I know it sounds like we're baiting you to check out YouTube, but you really got to go to YouTube because this is insane.
Yes.
The Radberg made for us and shipped it to Chris's house.
Yeah. You probably saw this on Instagram.
Oh
but
my
it's,
God.
It's even more ridiculous in person. So thank you so much.
It's going in the studio here.
We still don't know what we did to deserve that, but we really appreciate it. So 300 episodes, naturally time to reflect. For this show, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of doing like a walk down memory lane, we're going to do a race report down memory lane. So on our website, on our about page, we have a race report for every single swim run we've ever done, except for one. And we're correcting that this evening. We're doing a race report for the 2018 California Swim Run. And to join us to do that, we're going to have the race directors come on, Sean Durkin and Andy Hewitt. So stay tuned for that conversation. But before we get to that,
the monster episode.
I mean, Chipper, man, 300 episodes. How you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously can't help but reflect and kind of think back. Is there any way that we would have thought, hey, when we had this kind of dumb idea in the garage, that 5 years later, 300 episodes, that this even, like, it was so.
And it's not even 300 episodes. It's like 320 something with all the bonus gear talks and stuff.
The astute listener will know that the Low Tide Boys, we had a second swim run show with the Swim Run Labs called Gear Talk. And we did probably close to a dozen of those episodes, but we kind of had that on the bonus feed for a little bit. So I think our actual number.
Yeah, it's like 320 or something, but this is officially number 300. And, you know, it's hard not to reflect and just have a ton of gratitude for everyone that's been supporting us. You know, people sending us artwork, people sending us cutting boards, people sending us, you know, unsolicited
blankets,
advice,
blankets,
honey, jam, all sorts of stuff.
It's insane.
Fika.
Carbon fiber.
Thank for you. For sure. And it's, you know, there's obviously too many people to thank. So this is sort of like a blanket thank you from us for tuning in to our corner of the internet for the super niche content for the sport that we love. And we weren't sure about whether we loved it or not. We've been doing this for 5 years, people.
It's a thing. I mean, and we got a really interesting question from a listener that was kind of like, how do you guys do it and make this happen? And that's a good enough question to dive into for its own episode. So we're going to, but I think obviously we got to thank the wives, Kristen and Susan. They definitely make it all happen. You know, we're out training, we're out traveling, racing, going to Sweden. None of this would be possible without a really good support system. And I'm thanking your wife, and I know I'm speaking for you. You would totally thank my wife. Like, we know what it takes to make it happen. So
and
our families, obviously, with
our
kids. For sure.
I think they realize, you know, this is something that Susan told me a long time ago, even back in 2018 when we did Casco. Afterwards, she was like, well, I'm just really glad that you guys do this together and you're looking out for each other. And, you know, fast forward now, we've done 25 some odd swim runs together. That's still true. Like, we're still looking out for each other. We're still taking care of each other. Yeah. And if anything, we mention it all the time, like, the best part about the sport is the team aspect. And not just in racing, but in podcasting, like Chipper.
Absolutely.
If this was a one-man show, this show would have been over.
It's just not possible to do what we wanted to do and kind of how we wanted to do it to just be a lopsided thing. So,
yeah. I mean, people ask us if this is like our job. It's like, people, it's not. Okay. This is a hobby, one of many.
Yeah.
Not just
and
the
training,
actual racing and training, but the podcasting.
I will say, before episode zero, before the Low Tide Boys were officially a thing, like, swim run, and this is why this episode is going to be so cool. Swim run's always been a thing that's just, I've had so much fun doing it, and it makes me so happy to do it. And this year we've learned, hey, it doesn't matter necessarily if I do it with Chris or whoever, but I like doing it with Chris, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
The number one.
Number one.
But it's just so fun, and I really love doing it, and the community and seeing everyone. Like, for the last 5 years, that's just been so cool that, like, I have this consistent 5 years of, like, it's just, I've been having a blast doing swim run stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it got us
the podcast.
It got us through COVID. It got us through a bunch of stuff. Obviously, doing the podcast has just deepened our love. I mean, we've met so many people, like, around the world. It's kind of ridiculous when people come up to us from all over the place saying that they discovered the show, that they're, you know, they think we're legends. Like, I mean, that's just like, I try to tell my wife that, and she's like, calm down, buddy. It's like, hey, people think I'm a legend.
Well, I was on our Strava page. We have a Low Tide Boys Strava Club if you're not there. And someone had posted, I think in German, it was a team we had met in Sweden. And I was like, this isn't a different, I haven't even, let me check what this says. And they're like, they told us they were just a couple of dudes, but we don't believe them. They're the Low Tide Boys. And to think that somebody like, you know, we are just a couple of dudes.
We are.
And we just like doing swim run. And, you know, we happen to have this podcast as well. But,
you know, and I think interestingly, the reason we ended up signing up for California Swim Run in 2018 was sort of in service, almost like as a progenitor for the show, because we were like, hey, we're doing Casco 2018. This race is a beast.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do. We got to figure it out. What is a race that is a little, you know, like a smaller bite to chew kind of thing?
Yeah.
And we found that there was happened to be a race in our state in San Diego. So we flew down for the day. We decided to like test our gear. At that point, we already bought gear. After the race, we ended up buying different gear and like trying a bunch of stuff. So it was the type of thing, even in those early days, basically 2 years before the podcast, we were already of the approach of like, let's try to figure this out. Let's try to understand. Yeah. Let's try to demystify it. And then fast forward in 2020, when we started the show, it was in service of Catalina. It was, so in many ways, like that's the
and
race
ourselves.
That really kicked it off. I mean, but it was in service of like getting ready for Catalina because that race was such a beast.
It was
like,
just
what
a thing,
can we learn?
Instead of doing training, we're like, hey, if we did this podcast, it would really help us prepare. Like that's kind of how it came about.
And if you go all the way back and listen to some of those early shows, it was just like Swim Run Monks and Team Baywatch.
Yeah,
it was just
Team
like
Baywatch.
Just asking them all the questions. Like, what do you do this? How
and
do you do that? How
we
do you
joke
this?
On the show, get your notepads out, folks. But that's really how we felt when we would do some of these early episodes. It was like, oh, hold on. What did you say you were doing? Like, okay, we're going to try this next
ooh,
time.
You switch during the swims? Okay, that's a revelation. So much of the show has been our attempt to try to demystify the sport, lower the barrier entry. Really, our mantra from the beginning was to try to share the love for the sport, help grow it in the U.S. and now the world, and try to make it accessible, welcoming, diverse as possible. And
everything
I think
that we already love what it is now, we're just trying to keep that going, basically.
Yeah. So with all that in mind, I think like there's always a special place in my heart for California Swim Run.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I remember when Casco came on, really exciting, and this is just kind of the, I know we both, you bought us these shirts. We had, you know, we had team shirts long before the Low Tide Boys shirts. And it was, the shirt said like, oh, that's a dumb idea. What time?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what time does it start? And Casco Bay was just another one of those things when you ask me like, you want to do this? And I'm just like, of course, like, yeah, this sounds pretty crazy. Let's do this thing. And that's how it came about. And I remember thinking, hey man, there should be, these races seem kind of cool. Like, it's pretty cool to do that. Like, these should be all over. And then somehow it was in San Diego, but.
Yeah, and little did we know, that's like, there's only like
three or four races
at the time.
Yeah, and I remember we were like, we got to make it down in a day to jam and make it happen. So should we dive right into the race report? Let's do it. We flew down to LAX, rented a car, and then drove down to San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chipper made me eat vegan food because he was vegan at the time.
And then I forgot who it was. Your buddy told you about these pancakes.
Yeah, so we stopped. I keep forgetting the name of the town. I think it was like in Ventura or something. No, not Ventura because we're going the other way. Maybe like Oceanside or something. Yeah, so it's really good pancakes. So, you know, had like a second lunch, showed up at the regatta.
Well, the thing about this race when we signed up, we've done triathlon. We get how it works. This race started and it was like 2 p.m. or whenever the collegiate regatta, you know, finishes up. We're like, what? the race starts in the afternoon. So we had two full meals.
And it was
on the
a short race. I think it was like 8 miles total, 9 miles total. So it wasn't
12, 14K or something.
Yeah, it
like
wasn't.
That,
I think it was like 7 miles of running and maybe like one.
We were pretty pumped about it. We were looking over the course and everything. Do you remember your gear? You had like a Orca suit.
Yeah.
What shoes were you wearing? Do you remember the kind of the gear in 2018? Yeah.
I had some gear sorted out. So I had the tiny pool buoy because that's all that was available.
The leg mount.
Yeah, the thigh mount kind of thing. And then I had an Orca, like the Orca comp suit, which was, I used to race triathlon basically exclusively in Orca. So I was like, swim run. Oh, they have it. So let me just get
brand
that.
Brand loyalty stuff.
Brand loyalty. And then at that point, I'd already figured out that the... because I saw some of
the paddles
at Atala. It was like the Salomon Amphibs.
Okay.
So I was already using the Amphibs for that first race and ended up using those through my first world championship.
Basically through the world championship.
Just kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. And then the paddles were, I think, the Roka ones. Or
yeah, we like the Roka
ones.
Stuff. They were actually stiffer than kind of some of the Stroke Maker ones. I got the Zone 3 suit.
Yep.
And we did a DIY night. One night we came over, there was like one YouTube video that existed about a pool boy, and now we've made like seven ourselves. So we DIY'd that one night, the thigh mount there, Roka paddles, that Zone 3, and then I made nothing new on race day. I broke the rule, and I found those like, they were like North Face. I was trying to mimic what you had, but like a North Face version. But they were more like water sock. They didn't work out for me, but
it was a good race to do that. We also had brought a tether, but we ended up chickening out the last minute because it was kind of intimidating. I mean, there was a bunch of teams there. There's some Swedish,
German looking
people.
That's what got me was like, man, there's some European people here. I was like, dude, we can't rock this for the first time. I was like, let's ditch it.
Yeah, but that race was interesting because while it was super fun, like literally in the second swim, my shoulders were on fire. So it was like, oh my God.
And I think this was a little bit of when we were kind of in definitely dad mode that, you know, we had kids that were 2.5, 3 years old, wife's not quite pregnant yet, or maybe.
Yeah, I think there were two.
Okay, there were two or something. So young kids. So we were just like, oh, we'll just show up. And if it's going to take us all day, we're just going to get it done kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then this was like, yeah, I also realized that on the, you know, whatever swim it was, I'm like, oh man, we got to do more swimming. That's kind of what I remember thinking right away. You know, there was probably 2,000 yards of swimming, maybe 3,000.
It wasn't a lot of swimming. But I think there's basically all the way through Catalina, it was like, oh yeah, we needed to do more swimming. After Catalina and onward, I think we were more prepared for the swims. And then that kind of really unlocked turning the sport. And this is something we mentioned a lot over the time, or over all of our shows, which is like, you know, if you can be a strong swimmer, it makes the race not be an ordeal because you can always walk if you need to take a break during the runs. But during the swim, you just kind of have to get through it. And if you're suffering through thinking you're going to drown, it's, you know, this huge situation, like that doesn't tend to give you more enjoyment of the thing that you're in. Being a strong swimmer or just making sure you've got the swim handled really unlocks the ability to just have a ton of fun and just really get into the joy of it rather than into the, I need to be in a survival mindset kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's definitely a training methodology that we've kind of both adopted and feel like, this works for us. It might not be how every coach does it out there, but for us, that's how we like to do it. And I'm 100% behind that thing. Yeah. And, you know, we don't got to be doing, you know, 30K weeks in the pool or anything crazy like that, but, you know, have some good swimming background. But
yeah, in fact, lately I've been swimming less just because of like my work and family schedule. I've just, you know, I'm kind of going the other way, but you know, I'm just relying on
hey,
that
dude,
deep,
you
deep
can chill
base.
In the back. You can always chill in the back. How did we do without being tethered? I think we probably ran in and I was probably like, all right, Chris, see you on the other side.
Yeah,
we probably just
that's basically
did it.
How it was. Like, I try to stay with you, and then I would fall back, and then you'd wait for me at the shore, and then we'd run like 7 minute miles to the next.
So, like on the second run, I was like, "Whoa, we can really go hard on these runs because I'm not feeling very much fatigue in my leg, or you know, as much as expected, I guess." And that part kind of like clicked a little bit. Like, "Ooh, this is kind of fun. It's a little bit sportier than, you know, the really long endurance, you know, 50Ks, yep. 50 miler type stuff that we had been doing before. The legs were feeling a little bit better. I was like, ooh, I kind of like this, you know, feeling a little
bit. It's like, I thought I was pretty fit going into it. So it was kind of a surprise to me that my shoulders were on fire. I mean, in hindsight, it wasn't a surprise. At the time, I was like, what's going on here? So I was kind of like making up for it on the runs, I think. Yeah. But it was a super fun race. You know, at the end of it, as Chipper mentioned, supposed to start as two, ended up starting at like 2:47 or something after the last regatta thing. And then we went off. Didn't take us very long. I think we came in...
It was like an hour 20 or something,
something like that. We were like, we came in 14th place.
Nice.
Top 14. And at the end, I was like, wow, we definitely learned a lot. My shoulders are killing me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of, in theory, it should have primed us better for Casco than it did, where it was wishful thinking that we were going to swim more. I think we did swim more, but still not enough to really
Casco
understand
still
the demands of our first real long course. And you can go back and listen to that old school race report when we're still racing as Team Thunder Goats. Our team names have gone through many iterations. It was Thunder Goats, then it was Team Dad Bod, and then it was Low Tide Boys. It's obviously been the
Low Tide Boys. But we never officially raced under Team Dad Bod.
We didn't.
But that was how we originally registered for Catalina. I don't know. Is that a factoid? Is that a...
That is true.
Is that an exclusive?
That is true. Yes.
Have we said that on the show before?
I don't know. maybe not. Yeah. So we registered as Team Dad Bod, and we were like one of the first five teams to register for that first year of Catalina. Like once we heard it was coming out, I'm like, Atala's coming. Like, let's go, Chipper. Once then we got the idea for the show, we got the idea for the team name, and it was like, oh, we gotta change, your team name ASAP. So since then it's been the Low Tide.
So why don't you tell the story of how the Low Tide Boys came about?
The name? Yeah. So it's from a meme. You know, if you watch the show or follow us on Instagram like obviously, you know, now it's not the only meme page, but for 5 years it was the only swim run meme page. Which we got from trail running memes and sort of like really niche memes, and certainly have, I mean, there's almost 2,000 of them on there. Like, certainly have a lot of like creative energy for memes. So I like memes. So I read memes, and I saw one that was about crab gang signs and like gang affiliation for crabs. So, you know, one of the crab gangs was called the Low Tide Boys. And the second I saw that, I was like, Chipper, we should change your name to Low Tide Boys.
Instant text. And I was like, yes.
So I think I came over to your garage, which is
studio
essentially
here.
What we're doing right now. This has been,
sorry,
we've been doing
to break
this for
the
years.
Wall on you, everybody.
Yeah, we've been doing this for like 9 years in Chipper's garage. And I was like, we got to change your team name. And then I think like immediately we secured the Instagram handle, secured the domain name, everything else. And then I think the next day I was like, oh, you know, we got to put the umlauts on the O's as a throwback. It was like, so that turned into a whole thing. And yeah, that's basically how it came out. And, you know, if anyone wants to see that original meme, just let me send us a DM on Instagram.
Well, we'll
send
on,
it over.
On when we release the episode, we'll throw it up there.
Good idea.
But I mean, the California Swim Run was great, and it definitely kind of lit a fire and got me excited to like get out there and do that again from like an athletic perspective too.
Yep.
Yes, definitely behind you what you're saying. We still learned a lot on the way to Casco, but Casco, you know, I think it was still an ordeal.
I mean, there's always more to learn. Every race we do, there's opportunities for growth. And I think one thing that's interesting sort of to tie in having our special guests, Sean Durkin and Andy Hewitt, who were the race directors, is obviously in 2018, we didn't know them at all. Fast forward to now, I mean, we consider them dear friends. You know,
I
never miss an opportunity. Last year, I flew down to San Diego for his birthday, you know, for the day of Andy. You know, these people become really, really important to us. And, you know, again, that's another thing about the sport. I mean, I could say that about 24 people in the sport who, like, they need anything, I'm there. And I'm sure it's vice versa. It's just a lovely thing to think that, like, from back then to now we know we're just so familiar with
it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I see the coincidence that, hey, the podcast is our way of, you know, doing what we like about Swim Run. And Andy and Sean putting on these races is doing their thing, how they like to do Swim Run, because they were having such a good time doing it, putting it on and hosting and doing it themselves. And I love how that just kind of came through in this episode. And it's like a full circle thing. It's wild.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful thing. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there putting out their energy to try to help grow the sport, whether it's Wild Swim Run, Marcus Barton, like all these folks that are just doing everything, TSR, like all these folks that are either putting on races, putting on local races, creating rankings, putting out content.
And their whole gear. French contingent of Swim Run podcasts, live streams, you name it. There's a whole community that's in France as well, growing certainly growing very quickly, one of the bigger, if not the biggest, swimrun community out there now. So, I mean, everyone's doing their thing, and this is us just doing our thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, and the sport's in great hands. And, you know, it's been awesome to see. I mean, one thing we've mentioned a lot, it's like, you know, this really is the golden age of swimrun. And I think anyone listening or watching this, like, we just need to have a lot of gratitude for where we are. The sport is going to continue to grow and evolve. But what a cool time to have been a part of it to help not just like witness it, but then participate in the advancement, like certainly with the carbon fiber paddles and everything else that we've been a part of to try to help grow it, like sorting out nutrition for a lot of folks and all this. I mean, it's just been a blessing that somehow keeps giving back to us when all we're trying to do is, like, you know, educate people and kind of help ourselves, to be honest, on one level, on a very deep level. This show has been extremely self-serving. But yeah, it's just been really amazing. You know, for 300 episodes, we couldn't think of a better guest to have on than Sean Durkin and Andy Hewitt to talk about why they put on a race in the first place, like how they discovered swimrun and how they wanted to bring it back and sort of import it to the U.S.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, that's always a great conversation.
Yeah, it was such a good conversation with them. And, you know, we're both in a swimrun. It's also really cool to swimrun with Andy.
Yeah.
And Sean too. So it's like, hey, you know, we get to do what we like doing together as well. So when we go down to San Diego, even though this race is no more, I know when I've gone down, I'll hit up Phil and Andy and they'll meet me at some crazy ass time in the morning and they'll take me in their San Diego spots that they know. And part of them is on this course. And I remember we were going these, I'm like, whoa, I was like, Phil, was that in the San Diego? And he's like, yeah, we came through here. And he like rattled the years off. And I'm like, oh, cool. I knew I recognized it. So it's just so cool that, yeah, that we got to kind of get this out and be able to document this really cool time for us. But, you know, I don't think we need to kick it around too much longer, but 300 in the bag. But let's kick it over to Andy and Sean. Andy Hewitt, the godfather of swimrun here in the U.S., and Sean Durkin, Team California Swimrun.
Hell yeah.
Boom. 300 more. This thing's crazy.
That's Chipper, and that's Chris.
All right. Super excited to help us celebrate our 300th episode of the show. Our swimrun legends, Sean Durkin, Andy Hewitt. Welcome to the show, guys.
Woo-hoo! Thanks for having us.
Yeah, super stoked to have you guys here. As we mentioned before, we're always racking our brains for content. There's one race report we haven't shared on the show, and that was for our first ever swim run, which was California Swim Run in 2018. So we thought we'd have you guys on, who we love and value everything you've done for the sport, to come on and just kind of give us your side of things. Like, what was happening in 2018? Why'd you decide to put this race on? So I think with that, Sean, let's start with you, since Andy's been a frequent flyer on the show here. You know, how did you find out about swimrun and how did you get convinced to help put on a race?
Well, I found out about swimrun because of Andy. I was actually living in Colorado, enjoying myself in Vail, but getting a little bit out of shape. And I moved back to San Diego and Andy grabbed me. He says, "What are you doing tomorrow?" So he took me on the swim run and it was a little bit fatiguing, but I had fun and I kept showing up and I kept showing up. And the other guy what we were doing swim run with kind of buggered off. So I was the only crazy guy who was left as his partner. So that's kind of how we got started.
That's how you got hooked in. Andy, you've been on the show probably at least 3 or 4 times, but the godfather of swim run is how we refer to you. You're one of the first people to bring swim run to the United States in the form of this California Swim Race that Chris and I did in 2018. Kind of same question. When did you first get exposure to, I guess, what would have been Utsala in Europe, and then thought to bring it to your town of San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting on a plane taking off, going back to Grand Rapids, Michigan for the U.S. Masters National Rowing Championship in 2014 in August. And I get a text that just said, "Dude, you're crazy. Check this out." And it was a 2-minute clip of the 2013 World Championship. And it was literally like the only race on earth. And it was the craziest looking thing you could ever imagine. I mean, 2013, think about what they were doing. You know, it's like they had backpacks, they had fins they were carrying, and, you know, they had these little, you know, pool noodles cut down for swim buoys. And I mean, it was completely a sloppy situation. And I was like, I got to do this. And I sent out a text to 50 people that I knew. I said, I'm doing this. Who's in? And literally only one person said, yeah, yeah, I'm in. And,
wow.
And it was actually Damon.
Okay.
And because Sean was on a plane heading to the same race. And so,
nice.
And I get there and I'm like, gosh, how can I do this? Come to find out, it was only going to be 2 weeks away. So I couldn't do that one. But I started saying, hey, who's going to go out and swim with me, you know, and run with me? And I mean, we'd go in the water and we'd come out in San Diego. We'd come out where there were showers. And so we'd take a shower after every time we'd been in the water. And we'd take our shoes off.
Wow.
And like wash the sand out and everything. And then run some more and go jump in the water again. And, you know, first time we ever tried it, I think we had some sort of wetsuit. Yeah, we had some wetsuit that was not.
We had surfing wetsuits.
Surfing wetsuits.
Yeah.
And we did a one-mile loop around, did a 100-meter swim, stripped off the wetsuits, and we were down to just, I mean, they were inappropriate shorts. Okay. They might as well have just been underwear. And then we did like 8 more laps just with that. We're like, this will work.
And that was your training for your first SLO.
Yeah. No, that was the very early.
That was the genesis.
Yeah.
Andy, I will say 1 out of 50 conversion rates, not very good for texting your friends and only one person response.
Yeah. Or, I mean, people ghosted me. And I don't think, I think some people still haven't responded to me on anything I've said. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we've found over the years that swim run certainly draws a particular
certain
type of personality. You have to be comfortable dealing with ambiguity, up for kind of crazy stuff, less fear of the unknown. And certainly you, Andy, and Sean as well, you guys have like the perchance for doing like wild, you know, kind of like crazy activities. It's not that surprising that swim run was something that's captivated your imagination. But it's one thing to be like, oh, this is fun, let's do it. It's another thing to be like, let's become the Johnny Appleseeds of spreading the sport in the U.S. and putting on an event. So where did the idea for even starting California Swim Run come into life?
Well, we went to the UTA race that year in 2015. We begged and begged, and they said, yeah, okay, you can come over for that race. We mistakenly did the 15K the day before the race, because we had literally never done a swim run race. So we thought, well, let's at least see what it's like. And that gassed us. Well, at least it gassed me. And the next day was just horrendous.
But we got to meet all the people.
We got to meet all the people.
Which was good.
Motz and Jesper Andersen. You know, we met Maya Tesh, who was basically doing her first one. It was actually the first time that Julian Dent and Nicholas Ramirez did a swim run that day. And they won the race. They won it by so much that they had lunch with my wife for a half hour before the next team came in.
Nice.
Wow.
And they were like, this is very good. This is a very good race. And Nicholas didn't speak a word of English at the time. So Julian was doing all the talking. But yeah, and we came back from the champs. We begged him to let us into the champs, and they're like, well, you didn't come close to qualifying. And we're like, come on. You're like begging people to come do this thing. And 2 weeks before the champs in 2015, they give us a call and say, yeah, you're in. We already had our tickets. We've been training. You know,
wow.
And we came over and did it. And while we were there, we're like, oh, we got to bring this home and host a race. So we hosted it September 20th, 2015. And it was the first commercial swim run race in the US. Doug Cole and Lars had hosted a freebie race at some point somewhere just to see if anybody would show up. But we had 9 teams.
It was pretty hard to find people to do it. We pulled in a lot of our friends.
We wanted 9 teams because the original Tula race had 9 teams, so we wanted to at least have 9 teams.
Yeah, at a minimum, you got to at least
say 9 teams. Get,
well, we had 20. On the start line, there were 8 teams because one person said, my partner's not here. So Sean raced in it.
I didn't want to let that person not race.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. That's good. And was the course the same one as 2018? Or one great thing, if you've ever done swim running with Andy, he's got a million courses mapped out in his head, and he loves taking all of them. I love doing as many as I can with him. But was this the same course as in 2018, or was it another offshoot that you had?
You know, inspired? It was a lot. It was...
Well, every course we did was different.
Yeah, it was...
We always had to change everything.
Yeah, it was probably 80-90%. I mean, this is what it was. This was what the 2018 course was. And
for the folks, sorry, Andy, for folks listening on this and not watching this on YouTube, Andy literally just held up a printout of a map, color printout of a map from back in the day.
Yeah. Good reason to subscribe to YouTube.
It basically just went around the West Bay of Mission Bay in San Diego, super chill swims and super flat runs. I mean, I think the elevation gain on the entire course was about 1 meter.
And it's going up that bridge. I know there's that, like, it's a bridge that goes over. That's the elevation.
That's right, because you had to run over the bridge. You couldn't swim through it. We swim through it all the time now.
Yeah. The first year, you guys get 9 teams, and you're like, you know what we need now is a logo, a shirt, a set of rules. You know, 9 teams, that's not a lot, but you still had the enthusiasm to kind of keep this going. So tell us a little bit about sort of the evolution of the race.
Well, 9 teams actually showed up and everybody finished. So it was a monumental thing.
Yeah.
Well, Andy started coming up with new ideas. And every time we went training, we'd figure out some new little place to go. Like, oh, nice. We could do this. We could go around this pier. We could swing across this channel. And about half the time, they'd always get vetoed by lifeguards, city officials, or what have you. So what you guys saw was the pinnacle of all the different races kind of coming together to present that race.
Yeah.
And that was really the best of the best of what we had.
Yeah, and that was the last one we hosted.
Wow. Yeah.
We had gone into negotiations with the Ortola group at Germany the October prior to that April race and about doing a race at Catalina. Motz and Dominic Liu and Michael Limmel came out to San Diego to at least see something that we had hosted. And literally like the next day, we signed the papers to do the Catalina race in 2020.
What do you think sold them? Was it starting at 2:37 in the afternoon?
It was like 4.
We were supposed to start that race at noon during the lunch break of the rowing race. And a couple of days beforehand, they got cold feet. And they're like, yeah, you're going to swim across the course with 50, 60 people. And they're all going to be off the course before the lunch break's over. And we're like, 5-10 minutes tops. They're like, yeah, we don't think so.
It's one swim.
Yeah, I know. And they came back to us and said, you can go right after the last race is done, which was like 2:30. But then they kept telling us, you can't start until we clear the course. Teams were finishing in the dark on that thing. Remember how cold it was? I mean, it got cold and dark.
Yeah, I mean, luckily we were.
Yeah, it didn't take us till dark.
I think we were top 14. Is that what we ended up doing it in?
Out of 15 teams.
What I do remember was that regatta. I think it was rigged because, you know, we're waiting for it to finish. Chipper and I are just watching the races, and whoever was in lane one was always like dead last. Yeah. Like that was just like the worst.
That's a bad seed.
It's like bad lane.
It's like hurricane conditions out in lane one that year.
So a better question is, how did you guys hear about the race?
Well, the way we heard about it was we had already signed up for Casco Bay 2018. And we were like, hey, you know, it'd be really great is doing a shorter one or something before we do this big thing. And, you know, do a little bit of internet research. Didn't take very long. And there was one race in California, and it just happened to be in San Diego, and it was in March or April. We're like, perfect. We're already getting our gear. It'd be a good time to try things out. I think for us, what was really funny is, like, you know, we ended up like made a tether. We brought it. We chickened out using it.
Yeah,
we were super intimidated by the people who looked like real swim runners. There was this person who had these little like duck little flippers on his shoelaces. I was like, what is happening?
Everything. Everyone we saw, I'd be like, oh, Chris, I'm like, look at that guy. He's got like those fins. Should we get those? Should we get those? Oh, they got this. Like, are we going to use the tether? Like, no, let's just keep it in the car.
Yeah, I still have
Jason Smith and his partner.
This was like Chipper's.
That was the original pool boy that I did. That old side-mounted one.
Like you do like a tourniquet on your thigh stuff.
Yeah, that thing was a pain in the ass.
People still do it.
They still rock it. The thigh. Okay, you had 9 teams, 2015, 2016. Do we break into the teens? A dozen plus.
In 2017, we did 3 races. We hosted 3 races that year.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was like our high water mark. And I don't know why we hosted 3 races, but we were
ambitious. We wanted to
get it going. And in 2017, I think Jason Smith, the guy with the flippers on his shoes, who won, he won Catalina this year.
No flippers. Anyone wearing a toe flippers?
No one's wearing flippers these days.
Can you imagine running along the bison with your little duck feet?
I think the only reason it worked in our race is because it was completely flat and there weren't many obstacles. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The rocks weren't hard to navigate.
You had three races throughout the year?
We had 3 races throughout the year in 2017. Wow. In 2016, I think we had 2 races. And then 2015, just the 1 race.
So, Andy and Sean, I know we've talked about this with you before, Andy, but where did the swim run rules come into play, because you know these are very important.
Well, yeah.
Do you guys sit down like over some G&Ts and come up with these rules, or
let's go through them here?
I think gin and tonics were definitely involved. Would be my
okay. Heart. Rule number 1: tell everyone you meet. That goes to the promotion. That's why we did so many races.
I mean, that's a direct nod to Fight Club.
Number 2: greet everyone you meet. We kind of saw some other sports where people maybe weren't as friendly and they kind of would just act like they owned the place and everything like that. And we didn't want to come off like that. We wanted to come off friendly. We wanted to enjoy it. We wanted to spread love and fun.
I love it. It's rule number 2. You guys are doing this in 2015 and it's still the same way, 10 years later today. And it's one of the things that makes people fall in love with the sport is the community and the friendliness of it. So way to go.
Number 3, stay with your teammate. That was a big thing, because you can get lost really easy.
We'd be watching these races, and all of a sudden, a solo would go by. And this is back long before the days of any solo racing. Mm-hmm. So Sean would be on his bike going around the course, and they'd be like, hey, where's your partner? Oh, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know?
Wow.
Yeah, just ditch them. And, and we're like, no, you got to wait here till your partner is with you.
And some people couldn't figure that out.
That makes sense to make it a rule then. Just put it really out there.
Stay with your partner. Let's see here. Number 4, dog in and out of swims.
Yeah.
You can lose so much time futzing with your watch, futzing with your pool buoy, checking whatever. And then just get in like a dog. A dog runs in the water. They don't think about it. Boom, in they go. There's no goggles, nothing.
They get out.
Dog out.
Shake it off.
Yeah.
And the last one.
I remember, Andy, you shared a story once. Andy, you wore the sweatshirt to Ireland or something, and dog in, dog out has a different meaning over there. You were wearing the sweatshirt all around.
Oh, that's for another show.
That's another show.
I think you already mentioned it on a show.
I feel like we talked about all this already. Yeah.
And number five, maybe the hardest one of all, we've all violated it at some point.
Yeah.
No complaining ever.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't even have to say it. If your swim run partner's kind of getting a little ornery and having some problems, just say rule number 5. And then
rule number 5. Mm-hmm. If someone behind you is starting to complain, you just put your hand up like this.
Because really, that's where it kind of spreads.
You're bonking.
If you say I'm tired, if you say I'm hot, if you say this isn't fair, if you say whatever your complaint is, it spreads. The other person starts to say, yeah, I am tired. I am hot. So no complaining ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that one in particular, I think about that one a lot because, the way we, Chipper and I, describe it on the show is kind of like becoming comfortable with ambiguities or sort of, not forcing the issue, just like accept nature, accept what it's giving you, accept the currents, like work with it. And so much of it is like, you could throw yourself a little pity party or you could just get on with it. And I think, that one in particular is one where I think, like, if you can really get into the swim run mindset, like, complaining is just, I mean, if you're super present, what's there to complain about? You're just problem solving. You're moving on to the next thing. You're doing what you got to do to get to the finish. And yeah, I love that one.
Get the capsule rule. Home.
It's a good one. Yeah. And so you all printed these on t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, everything. Anything you could print it was on there.
We printed all the volunteers. They got a different shirt. The volunteers got yellow shirts and competitors got blue shirts. The rules always were there. We had it on tattoos, you know, the swim tats and everything. And we really kind of jumped on that, the California license plate as like our awards.
Yeah, that was like a logo. Finisher medal, I think. It was some medal. Rubber kind of like
a, yeah, like it, a was Lex, it was Lexan, some sort of, you know, Formica kind of thing. And then, of course, you just start making them bigger and bigger. We started out with really little tiny ones.
Nice.
Love it.
Yeah, I remember when we showed up in 2018, there were a few Swedes there. When did you start getting attention for the California Stormman Series from any of the Swedes from the motherland?
Well, we always would have a rock star at whatever race we hosted. So we'd figure out, like, the very first one, we didn't have anybody. But the second one...
There weren't any rock stars.
Yeah.
We had the guy who had won the first triathlon in San Diego. It was Grant's dad. What was Grant's last name?
Oh, I forgot.
LeBeau.
Yeah.
So
Rick LeBeau.
So Rick LeBeau, who won the very first triathlon in San Diego, which was the first triathlon on Earth. So he was cool. And then the next race, we had Tracy Sundland. Tracy Sundland invented Rock and Roll Marathon. And so he was our rock star. And then we had Mats Anderson and Maya Tesh came out for it one time. And we had Jonas Colting came out one time. People were just, you would think he was the Messiah. Yeah. He, for an hour, and we have a videotape of it, for an hour, he is just talking to these people who now have caught the bug, and they're just hanging on every word. They just did the race, and they're hanging on every word he's saying, because he is like throwing down nuggets, you know? And
well, I will say Jonas Colting talking for an hour, it's like us talking for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
I love Jonas, but he's a talker.
Yeah, but he was great. It was just what everybody wanted. And then we had Michael and Dominic that in 2018. So they were rock stars.
I love it. Nice. And you know, I find like when there's so many people in the sport of swim run that everyone's trying to do something to help it, right? Like for Chipper and me, it's like, yeah, we have marketing backgrounds and Chipper knows how to do a podcast. So we just decided to do this as our way of giving back. And, you know, you have the TSR people that are doing rankings and everything else. Like for you guys to decide to be like, you know what, let's put on events. I mean, that is just next level in terms of dedication to this cause, which is just like, here's this funky, even in 2018 was a super fringe sport. It's like, let's just confuse people and put on an event where they have to do this thing they've never heard of. You know, that took a lot of risk, obviously, but it also just took a lot of like chutzpah. Like, what were the conversations between you two? It was like, yeah, let's just do an event. It'll be great. No problem. We'll just get permits and figure it all out. How did you guys get to the point from ideation to actually like putting it on?
If you don't know any better, then
that's a great point.
You don't know that you're doing something you maybe shouldn't be doing if you don't have any background in it. And I mean, we didn't have permits. I think we didn't. Only our last two races did we ever have a permit. I mean, we had guys coming to the race course that had come to us a year before, and they had forgotten that they had tried to shut us down. They said, well, this one time, make sure you get a permit next time. They show up a year later, didn't even know he was talking to the same person. He's like, well, you really can't do this.
Well, and part of the other thing is we were tired of being the only guys around that were doing it. We wanted other people to be racing. We wanted to be able other people to know about it. We wanted to share that. It's kind of lonely if you're the only two guys on the whole entire West Coast doing swim run.
And yeah, you guys were having fun.
You look like a couple of weirdos. I mean, Chipper and I, we were the only two people doing it in San Francisco. And at some point, there'd be more swim runners and people would literally assume it was us. They'd be like, hey, we saw you and Chipper like at Aquatic Park. It was like, we were not there. Like, there's other swim runners? Like, who are these people?
I think it was like sometime, it must have been 2018. We're literally just doing a swim run practice in La Jolla one day. There's four of us. We're all wearing Ertela caps. We all have all the gear on. and we swim past these other two people with all the gear on coming the other direction. We stop and pop up in the water, and we're like, hey, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're doing this thing called swim run. And literally, like, I turn my head so they can see the side of the cat. Nothing. Yeah. They had not been to a race before. They thought they were the only ones. They were like,
wow.
Maybe it's the same thing? And they're like, oh, no, no, you don't understand. This is this thing called swim run. It's from Sweden. They're like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
and they swam on and we swam the other way. No, we never saw them again.
Never saw them again?
No. Man, wow.
Still out there.
What? I love that. You guys are just having a good time and you wanted more people to have a good time. And certainly the San Diego swim run community is one of the better ones that we've seen around. When did you all kind of, I assume, hey, if you're putting these races on, you're starting to see repeat people come back to these races and then they want to do training with you. Kind of like talk to us a little bit about how some of the San Diego swim run community started to kind of blossom.
First of all, we weren't making any money.
That's obvious. That wasn't a dollar entry fee
and all that stuff. So we weren't in it for the money.
Yeah.
But in the
spirit of the original swim run, you know, you'd pay your $10 for entry and you got about $150 worth of good.
So, yeah, it's a good deal for the.
Yeah, interest. We'd go to November Project and try to get these people to come do it. Everybody had an excuse for why they couldn't come on that day 4 months from now. You know, oh no, my gosh, you know, I completely can't come on that day. That just happens to be the day that we're doing something else.
Yeah, they're washing their hair. To Chipper's point, the San Diego swim run scene, similar to the triathlon scene, like back in the early 70s or whenever that started to grow. And Andy and Sean, you guys were always recruiting. Anytime anyone identified, you know, I'm thinking Sean and Phil, like all these folks that were just like, now they're, you know, either weren't to swim run for a period or not. People would cycle in and out. But, you know, Mel, there's all these folks from in the San Diego scene where it became this kind of thing. How long did that take for you guys to start seeing some of these seeds grow into plants?
That was a couple of years. Doug Cole and Lars, gosh, Lars doesn't get the credit he deserves for having been the hardest promoter of swim run in the U.S. He's so positive, the vibe, and the numbers he would get were just amazing. We went to the Casco races. We went to this awesome race in Georgia. We went to Lac du Lac in Scotland. We went to Germany. I mean, we were going to all these races, and literally anything we went to overseas, we were the only Americans. And we were crazy, you know? We're out there playing Frisbee before the start.
Californians, yeah. Southern Californians with tanned and stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But people finally started showing up. They're like, hey, what are you doing? No, that doesn't look so hard. They come and do it for a day, and then we never see them again.
But you got a couple to stick.
But it was always an open invite. It didn't matter if it was your first time or if you'd been some sort of pro triathlete. Hey, here's the time we're going to be training. Come on out. Just bring some goggles and some shoes, and whether it sticks or not. But it was always like a very open community, which was cool.
Yeah, we had a couple of these people in their 70s who showed up, and just the transition of going from cold water to running again, like, made her back feel better. And so she was like, can I come and do this with you? We're like, yeah, but we don't want you to get broken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously like a labor of love and kind of seeing it blossom into a race. And certainly 2018, when we were there, I mean, we felt, if I can speak for Chipper, like we felt like we were coming into this kind of scene, which we were already watching the YouTube videos from Atala, trying to learn as much as we can. Find information where we could, because there just wasn't a lot out there at that time, which is at least one of the reasons why we started the show in 2020 was because it was like, we have so many questions and we can't find the answers. Like, let's give people the answers. You know, I'm curious, you know, because one thing that I've always appreciated about swim run is this community feel and how welcoming it is, how inviting it is. And what surprised me when we went to Sweden for the first time was just like, oh man, it's like the same vibe. And it's I guess I'm not surprised it's the same vibe because it's the same sport, but it's still, it was just like, oh man, this isn't just like a, like an American feature of this thing. It's like a feature of the whole thing. And I'm curious, like, you know, when you guys were putting events and going to events, was that also your experience in your travels and in race directing?
It was very welcome. When we went to Sweden the first time, people were curious about us. They were kind of poking and prodding us like we were some animal they'd never seen.
What are you Americans doing?
They wanted to know, A, how we heard about it, B, how we got over there, and C, why we were crazy enough to actually do it. And I think they were kind of curious if we were really going to be able to do it or if we just showed up to see what it was like. And then once we finished it, we got a little bit of street cred, and they gave us some of their secrets and everything like that.
We loved that vibe back in 2015 when we first got over there. It was very mystical. I mean, everything started on the island of Sondheim, and we're all crammed in on the floor, on the wood floor, upstairs in this room for the race brief. And you're looking left and looking right, and everybody is apprehensive. You know, and it's raining outside and they're like, we're going to do this. It's dark now. We're going to start it in the dark, you know, and it was just, but we loved that vibe and the people. And then, of course, afterwards, you know, and you have all the food and everybody. And we wanted to bring that over. We wanted people to get that vibe. I mean, think about 2015, even 2018. Think what the vibe was in triathlon. It was pretty toxic. And, you know, it's gotten a little bit better, I think, but still, it was pretty much a me thing. And all of a sudden, here's this thing where, like, you help the other teams, you know, it doesn't matter if it's your partner, you know, you're nice to them, you let people go by you in the woods and everything. So, we wanted to definitely import that. And, of course, when we went to Casco Bay, they were right on it. Doug Cole was just adamant about really having that vibe, and I think that drove us to really keep that vibe going as well.
I guess it's both parts on sort of the race directors sort of saying, hey, this is how it is, and then also the community members saying, hey, we like this, we want to kind of keep it this way. And I do, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a little bit on both sides, but yeah, I mean, it's just so awesome that that's a core component of what you wanted to build out in your adventures in San Diego.
I mean, so for the people who are watching on the video, we've got a question for you two, okay? How has this race changed you two? I'm showing a picture of Chris and Chipper at the race in 2018, looking very enthusiastic, right?
Very young.
And, you know, so one more picture for the video side, people. Here it is right before the race. And
it's a pretty good showing there.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people. We've got all the race bibs, you know, and we finally decided to start recycling the race bibs. I think the first ones we made by hand.
Cutting up, like, old t-shirts or something?
No, they were like middle school basketball jerseys.
Oh, like pennies.
They were tank tops, but under the arms they like hung down to almost your waist, you know. And some of the smaller athletes, they would definitely be touching their knees.
Like our son's soccer team when they make him put them on.
Yeah.
So how different was actually doing our race than whatever you had in preconceived in your mind? Or was it the same?
It's a good question.
That's a good question.
I think, go ahead, Chipper.
I mean, how we sort of found it was like, hey, we were registered for Casco and we're like, hey, look, we got to practice, like, let's find one of these. And for some reason, when I first saw it in Casco, I was like, that's cool. These races should kind of be in more like, this would be no problem finding one of these local that would be close. Cause to me, it wasn't too far from like a triathlon. But then when we found that, there was like, hey, there's really like two or three in all the United States and one happened to be in San Diego. I think we just didn't even, I mean, I didn't even really know what to expect too much, especially from, you know, I remember after the first couple swims and run leg, I was like, wow, my leg, we can run way faster because it doesn't, we don't have to like pace ourselves for this. So some of that stuff, I was kind of immediately like, oh, this is cool that you can, you know, you feel really fresh. But I guess I didn't really know what to expect honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we had done swim run practices and we'd had some gear already, and like we already DIY'd stuff. So we had a tether made and that we brought with us. I think what was interesting was like, because it's starting in the afternoon, I think we flew in like we flew into LAX and like drove down. Wow. Chipper made me some like vegan food because he was like totally vegan at that point. And I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants during this race probably in San Diego.
It's a menu?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember thinking this is so strange because we've had two full meals before this race starts. Like we've had breakfast and lunch and then we're going to race. I'm like, I've never done this before.
And for folks listening or watching, it's like, you know, you talk about the FICA World Championships, like these aren't jokes, people. Like this is who we are. Like we did Pasco, we had donuts and like all sorts of pastries before the race. That was probably a bad idea for that one.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. It was like, hey, you know, my buddy said they have this place that has like awesome pancakes. Let's just go check it out.
Get cool pancakes and say,
So I think like the fact that it started a different time, and as you guys alluded to, we came from the triathlon space and we were looking for something different. I mean, Chipper and I have been training buddies for a super long time. You know, we would just every morning it's like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, I knew, you know, his house was literally 1.2 miles away from me. We would pick our routes and all this stuff and we'd train together 3 to 4 times a week back then. So, you know, when Swim Run came onto my radar and I asked Chipper to do it with me, he was just like the natural person to ask because I was like, hey, we're already hanging out all the time. We can talk shop about this stuff. And he was also into the gear. So it kind of worked out. So going there the first time, putting on the gear, kind of like race conditions, you know, there's really nothing like your first experience, obviously. And I was certainly felt a little intimidated, especially when we saw people that looked like they knew what they were doing and we were clearly did not, which is funny because now, you know, at time of recording, I literally just did a race yesterday in Cape Cod and I was that old guy who like looked like he was doing right. And there's Rizzle all these veteran. People like asking like, oh, should I take my shoes off? I'm like, leave them on. You'll be fine. Everything will be all right. Everything will just keep them on, buddy.
I do remember I was also intimidated because there were some, like, I'm like, oh, these, some Euros are here.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They have their tether. I think Colton was there or he was slinging wetsuits there. So, like, people had proper kind of like kit and stuff that we didn't even have access to from a gear perspective in the United States. So it was just really.
Yeah,
you know, wetsuits were zipping out down like the front and the back.
Viva Barefoot.
I mean, we had three sponsors for that race, but we had press, like the news, and we had the lube guy. Oh my gosh.
We still have
boxes of lube. And, you know, and I mean, this stuff was crazy. But I think just the whole vibe of, because it was at the rowing race. So there are already 35,000 people there just for the rowing. But if you're a swim runner, you don't know if that's for you or for somebody else. You know, everyone kind of looks sort of the same, except these rowers were all like 6'5 and 6'6 and chiseled and didn't have a pull buoy.
That wasn't us.
Paddles. I mean, we had crazy stuff happen at that race. When it first started, you all swam to the little island, ran around that island and came back. I'm standing on the beach, just making sure nobody goes off course and anything like that. I got race official shirt on and I'm standing next to these two women who are standing there and they're just talking. They don't even see me. They're just like, and one of them said, what is that? And the other one just turns to her and goes, come on, they're blind swimmers.
Cause they had the tethers on.
Cause they had the tethers on and they were together. And makes sense. And I just lean into them and I'm just like, they're not blind swimmers. This is called swim run. And they're like, what? No, of course this is blind swimmers. And I'm like, no, I'm the race director.
It's like, you see this shirt I'm wearing?
And there are also a lot of leftover people in the beer garden that had watched the races that had just still been hanging out. So I think you guys got a lot of extra cheers from all the enthusiastic folks.
Okay, now that you mentioned that, I do remember it kind of was getting a little rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, there was like some hype and stuff there. And I remember because like on the first or second run, you're running on kind of that paved path kind of in between the condo area and people just – literally you're running by and people are just like turning their head, like looking like what's going on here. And all those, I mean, the looks were definitely out in force that day.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, another memory for me, it was like, this is the first time obviously doing a swim run race, but it was also the first time that we ever swim ran with anybody else. Yeah. So it was like our first time like other people doing this. So it was interesting to like, you know, we had no expectations. I mean, at that point, I think we were pretty fit runners, but our swimming, at least speaking for myself, left a lot to be desired. Evidenced by my shoulders being like literally smoked after the first swim. I was like, oh man, it's going to be a long
200
day.
Yards.
Yeah, it's like 200 yards. I'm like, oh, it's burning. And then like running like sevens on the paths to like try to make up for it or something. But yeah, like swimming in a pack and kind of dealing with all that. And then like chickening out and not using the tether. Cause we're like, oh, that's going to be a little bit too much to deal with. Every swim runner has their sort of like origin story and how they found the sport with their first race. And I think for us, having it be in California, having it be this like extremely kind of like funky, again, it started like this. We flew in late morning, got home by 9 p.m. It wasn't even a big deal.
You went home day?
Yeah.
We drove like, San Diego to LAX. Oof. Caught a flight back up.
Wow. That's tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we just, you know, at one point I'm like, are we going to make this flight? Because this race isn't starting on time.
I know it kept getting delayed.
But I will say, you know, the fact that that was kind of like our origin swim run, I think actually set us up for everything we've done since, because it was so focused on like the experience of it. It wasn't a pissing contest. It was like, yes, there's a winner and there's someone who comes in last and there's people who DNF, but it's like, it's not about any of that. It's about just like, hey, try this thing and try to have fun and get through it. And like sort of that ethos is something that, again, I mean, I still think about that race all the time. You know, I still like really appreciate that we got to do it, the last one. And it's the type of thing where it's like, to me, it's like super memorable.
We started... It finally ended in the dark, and it was cold, and it was windy. What was really cool for us was that all the athletes hung around until the last team came in and then helped us take everything down. We had to, like, take it down and put it in our car because it was – that space wasn't going to be there the next day. Everyone helped us carry all the gear, take down the finish, everything like that, took it all back to my house, and then we were literally sitting in the hot tub till midnight that night with the sponsors, with Michael and Dominic, and the reporter who had been the reporter all day. I mean, it was all the Viva Barefoot people, and yeah, that was a wild thing. But that in and of itself was like, this is a cool thing to do.
I'm glad you guys were able to experience the final product of California Swim Run.
It was great. Yeah.
We basically we left the next day and went out to Catalina Island and started mapping the course out there.
Scoping a course.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you guys got to Casco, what did you do differently than you did at the California Swim Rate based on your experiences, your learning, your talking with other people, that sort of thing?
I remember I was like, Chris, we got to start swimming more. We definitely didn't swim as much as we should have.
Well, then you got to Casco, and Casco was... monster swimming.
We got rocked. I mean, speak for myself, I was definitely pretty...
It was also like longer than advertised, which was our first real experience with like the swim run, like everything's ish. I remember that race being, you know, just kind of doing the mental math. It's like, okay, we've already gone 18 miles, so we should have a couple more islands to do. And Chipper's like, I'm not even on my second paddle in terms of where he'd written all the distances, which is like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Certainly, we used the tether.
We used the tether. We upgraded our gear a little bit. I think we got like better paddles and things like that. And yeah, just try to do more swimming. And I think we were still kind of called out a little bit at Casco because the difference between California Swim Run in like a protected bay, you know, swimming between boats was different than like swimming across the Portland Sound and kind of dealing with currents. And to me, that was the most interesting part of Casco was like, oh, there's actually shifting like currents and conditions throughout the day, which, you know, made it really interesting, but also like it would have been better to have been a little bit fitter for those challenges, I think, especially like towards the end. It turned into, it was really the first time, I think, speaking for myself, where I was like, oh yeah, am I in like, am I like over my skis, you know, or whatever, however that expression goes, because it was like, oh man, this got real. And up until that point, whenever Chipper and I would do anything, we're just like, you know, just chatting it up, you know, just like making jokes, telling stories the whole time. And there was a point in that race where we both kind of got serious. Quiet. And yeah. It was like, oh man, we actually have work to do. Yeah. Like we like this requires like, yeah, we got to cut the chit chat down because we got to be a little more tactical here. And that was like the first time that that's happened. Or was the first time that happened when we were doing like a shared activity together. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was a learning curve for sure. But, you know, the real learning curve was, for me, was California Swim Run, like just going through the mechanics in race conditions really, really helped us. I think, you know, besides like not being fit enough, regardless for Casco, I felt like that really prepared us for the bigger challenge. It's the type of thing we mention it on the show all the time. You got to support your local swim runs. You know, Atala does not have to be your hero journey. It can just be supporting your local event. You can just do what Marcus used to do back in the day where he would do all the races and he had like a different partner for every race. And he was just kind of like spreading the love and kind of getting everyone into the sport. Talking about Marcus Barton, tip of the hat, most experienced swim runner in America. But it was really California Swim Run for me that was like, okay, this is what this thing is. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can see the videos, you can read about it if you can find something to read about it on. But there really wasn't that much out there for us to really sink our teeth into until we did that race.
Yeah, that was the first time of like, you know, study. That was the test. Like we had kind of tried to do and practice what we could, but that was the actual first time that we, you know, got to try to apply that in race conditions. And that was definitely invaluable.
We didn't have a tether or pull buoys for our first race, the Uta race. And there's not much swimming on the Uta race and a lot of running. And it was the year that they had the submarine thing. So this one run, swim, run sequence, they cut out the swim in it and it turned it into like a 9 or 10 mile run towards the end. And we're just like, you know, we're dying. And the two of us were swimmers. So when we get to the Casco race in 2016, we loved that. That was like 30 or 40% swimming. That was a dream date for us.
So when did you guys actually start spinning on the podcast? Like, was that much later or was that kind of right away when you guys were?
It all was around Catalina became, and oddly enough, California Swim Run, yes, it did wind down in 2018, but like you've been sharing, Andy, that was like a phoenix from the ashes, and Catalina came out of that event, and Catalina was really the catalyst for us around the podcast, because we had done California Swim Run, we had done Casco, and then I think Chris Price-Sender, we found, we're like, dude, they're doing a swim run in California, like, we got to go to this thing.
Yeah.
And that was, I like, mean, we were excited about.
There's a gap in there.
Yeah, we had both Casco, had kids.
We did Casco in 2018. I'm sort of the historian for the team here. We did Casco in 2018. In 2019, we wanted to do orcas, but we ended up having, independently, our sons were born that year. So that was like, oh, okay. But I really wanted to do orcas because I was like, that course is made for me. I love climbing. Love the idea of doing like a mountain swim run. To me, that just seemed like, you know, yes, please give me that. So when that didn't happen, Chipper and I, like right after Casco, were like, this was ridiculous. I want to do another one. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
So we were thinking orcas and then that didn't happen. And then we saw the announcement for Atala Catalina. And when that happened, you know, I was like, Chipper, we were probably like the second or third team to sign up for this.
I think we were, yeah.
Like, we were just like on it, like, let's just commit right now, da 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 da. Let's take it serious, you know, more serious. We still didn't realize the level of seriousness we needed to take. After Catalina, that's when we actually realized what was the level of dedication this required to do it at a level where it wouldn't feel like an ordeal for us.
We could self-respect.
Yeah. So yeah, it was really like, okay, we signed up for Catalina. We know this thing's a beast. We know this thing's serious. Let's educate ourselves. And there just wasn't a lot of education out there.
No.
So that was really where we were like, hey, you know, we have something to offer here. In fact, after we did Casco in 2018, we recorded this like one-off podcast from our previous team name, which we were the Thunder Goats.
Is that still available?
Yes.
Someone could totally use it. Goats?
I even have some stickers for you.
We have stickers,
That is a trivia nugget.
Yeah, that's a major nugget.
Yeah, we had the mics and I was like, Chris, let's just record this race report episode of the Cole Classic when we did it in 2018, and we just recorded it, and we didn't do anything with it. We just recorded it. I guess I'm a digital hoarder, so I have a copy, or had a copy of it.
Yeah, we were. At some point.
Yeah, we it is actually, we put that out for some episode of significance.
Yeah, we put that one out at one point, which again goes back to the original idea for this show is like, hey, the one race report we've never recorded was California Swim Run, which was like, sounds like a nice way to kind of bring it full circle. But yeah, it was really in prepping for Catalina and, you know, trying to figure out how to train for it, figure out what was going on, gear stuff. Like that's where we discovered ARC and got like the big pool buoys. Got those shipped over and kind of like throwing money at the problem. I got some like head suit, sleeveless suit from like Spain, you know, like all, we were just doing all that stuff to like, you really have fun at this thing. And yeah, so it was really all that. It was like, we were chatting about it all the time. And I think Chipper, it was your idea is like, should we just do like a podcast? And, you know, it didn't take a lot of internet research to realize there wasn't a podcast, you know? Yeah. So it was the type of thing, which was a combination of our enthusiasm for it, but also like having our consulting and marketing backgrounds to be like, hey, we could actually do this pretty well and really help people along their journey, because like, why does it need to be a secret? You know, like why does this stuff have to be this like, you know, speakeasy level, like password protected thing? It's like, let's just put it out there. Like if we want to grow this thing, people need to know how to do it. And I always thought, and Chipper always agreed with me, that you can reduce the barrier of entry. Like education can do so much to make you even think that this is possible. But otherwise, it just like, if all you know is Atala, which is all I knew when I discovered Swim Run, you know, back in 2016, was like, oh man, like this thing's a beast. I literally discovered it from this book called The World's Toughest Endurance Challenges, which was in there. And I was like, oh man, I'm like totally captivated by this thing, but that thing seems ridiculous, right? So it was really from that perspective. It's like, let's educate ourselves.
Perspective.
And if you kind of go all the way back to those early episodes, I mean, those things were the most self-serving. Like we had the Swim Run Monks. That was the first team we had on. We're like, how do you do this? How do you do that? What are you wearing? Do you wear underwear? Like, do you cut your toenails? Like, it was just like the granularity from our own like need for this information was really shown through, I think.
Yeah, and we were still sort of in the triathlon club, or we had been trying to get other of our triathlete friends like, this race is going to be really cool. We've done a couple of these come out, and they kept were like, well, what gear do you need? They kept asking us the same questions. And I was like, that's kind of where it was like, well, let's just like record this and we can send them this, like, and let's just explain it one time and then we can give it to them type of thing. But yeah, I mean, we were just really stoked on it, on Catalina, and because we had such a good time at Casco and we had kind of missed getting to do it again, like that just was, right. I mean, we were just really hungry
for it. I'm curious if you guys felt this way, but it also seemed like Catalina 2020, that felt like a really big deal, right? Like this was coming over.
Yeah.
It was like the Ironman of the sport. Like we knew that all these Swedes were coming out and it was going to be, I mean, it felt really international, obviously, because there was a lot of people from Europe who came for that first race. Like it really felt like this like interesting moment. I mean, we were like, you know, I mean, we didn't know anything, but we were like, 2020, the year of Swim Run, it's happening. You know, got covered. Chipper was quoted in the New York Times by our friend Adam Skolnick. You know, all these things, we're like, this is great. And then obviously COVID happened and kind of like derailed that a little bit. But yeah, like we were just really captivated by the whole thing. And again, we had not just the energy for it, but also I think we had a little bit of experience on how we thought we could do a good job. Like, you know, with Chipper's marketing background, it's kind of, I mean, we've mentioned this before, but it's kind of unfair for whoever's going to come after us because, you know, Chipper's like, hey, let's do a video or let's do a show on this because this is what people are searching for, you know, on Google. It's like, sounds good, dude. Let's give people what they're searching for. And that was kind of our thing. It's like, how can we be pretty early on, especially when COVID hit, was like, how can we continue to be of service to like just keeping people kind of stoked on it, keep them interested until the races come back.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
You mentioned in the beginning of the podcast tonight about how like putting on a race, we're not race management. We've been to tons of rowing races. We've seen races being put on. We've run races, swim races, all that stuff. We've been participants, but we had never hosted an event. Now, a nice little thing in Mission Bay, that's great, especially when we had the rowing thing sort of, you know, in the background there. That was great. But then literally after that race in 2018, we turned 100% to trying to plan Catalina. And it's one thing if it was just up in Los Angeles, but this was go to Los Angeles, get on a boat and go out. And we were doing that 4 or 5 days every month for almost 2 years. We'd go out there. Nobody would talk to us. Nobody would answer calls, emails, text messages, nothing. We met Natalie Foote finally, and that opened every single door for us. But until that time, nobody wanted to hear from us. And we'd go out there and run on trails because we didn't even know where the trail would go. It originally was supposed to go from Two Harbors to Avalon, of course, because that's what the marathon did. And then we realized that was not going to happen if it was bad weather.
Yeah, and you guys tried it in one of your tests.
Yeah, that's right.
Original four.
Oh, my gosh. That thing was like 18 hours or something. Yeah, we were out there for 18 hours.
I almost fell off a cliff. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, we started in the dark. This was January.
Who was with you?
We had Caroline. Well, Natalie and Sean did support for us on bikes. And it was Phil, Sean, Caroline, and myself. Yeah. And literally, you started at like 6 in the morning in the dark and finished at about 10 o'clock at night. You know, coming down from 2,000 feet at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. And they're all looking at me like, are we going to do the last swim? I mean, they're all giving me the look like, if he says we're doing the last swim, we're doing the last swim. But I was like,
did you do the last swim?
We did not. We did not do the last swim.
That's probably a good idea.
We
had done it many times before, but it was like, it was either dinner or do the last swim.
Yeah. You got to go for supper on that one.
Yeah, and Catalina, that's actually an important call because, you know, the thing shuts down.
Everything, it was January. Yep. It was off season.
Nope, everything been open.
There was nothing.
Wasn't even,
One place stayed open for us.
Wow.
But going into it, that's a totally different animal putting that on compared to what we did in Mission Bay, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're so happy that you decided to try race directing and essentially welcome us into the sport of swim run.
When we first started seeing low tide boys stuff, we were like so excited. Like, finally, we can toss this booger on somebody else.
You joke, but it was like really early on, Andy. You're like, can I give you the login to the California
Swim Run? Exactly.
Feel free to like do whatever you want.
Sean, he's like, you want to do race directing?
Sean was maintaining that the PDF that he would link to the website where you could find a partner. You know, and it was called Tether, you know. And it was like, but like once a week you were updating this thing because people would send us emails. Oh, add me to the list. Okay, type it in, add to the list, post it up on the site, and people are finding each other. Who knows if they're finding each other for swim run, but...
No, we had a connection.
There was a love connection.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you know, we got to say, I mean, look what swim run did. It brought Sean and Crystal together. They're married now. They got
two kids.
They got two kids.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of people who started out with not married, no kids, and everything, and... You know, they're all in there now.
Well, as our friend Phil would say, it's a beautiful thing.
It really is.
You can't make this up.
You can't. Really. Well, guys, you know, we really appreciate you, obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you for being our sort of gateway drug into this amazing sport that we all love. Now, you know, 300 episodes later... You know, all these years later, it's kind of crazy. You know, we've now done over 25 swim runs. It's kind of ridiculous where the journey has taken us. And with that, just thank you guys so much for putting on this race, not just for us, but for everyone else who learned about swim run because of you and your efforts. It's appreciated. And I can't think of a better group of guys to have on for a 300th episode. So
we appreciate you guys showing up.
Thank you.
Every once in a while, people wouldn't show up for the race. And you know, instead of putting a DNS, a did not start, I would put slept in. Alarm didn't work.
Yeah.
So you guys avoided that by showing up. And that's really a lot of life, yeah. Showing up. Yeah. So congratulations for showing up.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you both.
Outstanding.
Over and out.
Ciao.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a wet rating or review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Check out our website, lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z, for swim run resources, including gear guides, tips, how-to videos, and so much more. Make sure to check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, send us a DM or email us at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music and, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run and other activities.
Lots of activities.
Lots of activities.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Then a run.
And then a swim.
Then another run.
Then another swim.
Then run some more.
Just keep going.
Let's go.
And then stop at some point because, you know.
And fuel. Don't forget to fuel.
Gotta fuel too.
Of course, yes. I don't want to see you.